All right, it's wonderful to see everyone. We're so happy that you're here this evening. Not a better place in the world to be than right here together with God's people in his presence. The visitors we have among us, we're thankful that you're here. It's an encouragement that you're here. We're going to pray that we are an encouragement to you. And if you've got any questions about anything, please don't hesitate to ask. Love to be able to sit down with you, to open up the Bible, and let you see what we proclaim from Scripture. Now, our lesson this evening is when we had the ice storm and the power went out, and about 13 of us met up here with flashlights, I kind of did a short preview of this lesson here. And it's a lesson that I have been thinking about for quite a while. I think it's very important. You know, we talk about faith, which is great, right? We need to talk about faith. We talk about what it is, right? We need to do that. That's needed. That's good. That's necessary. You know, we talk about how faith is trust and obedience coming together. We talk about that a lot. But one thing that we don't talk about enough is what faith does, right? And so we're going to do that this evening. We're going to talk about what faith does. And so our main scripture reading will be from Hebrews chapter 10, verses 38 and 39. And a moment ago, when we had our scripture reading, I was reading it out of my ESV that I keep there in the pew, and I wanted to reread that from the ESV here instead of my New King James in just a moment. But what's interesting here in Hebrews chapter 10 is the Hebrew writer in this, our scripture reading, verse 38 specifically, is going to quote the book of Habakkuk, right? And if we're going to be good students of the Bible, right, well, number one, context, context, context. Number two, anytime you see an Old Testament quote in your New Testament, stop and go back and see why he's quoting that, right? And I go back and I see the context in which the quote came from, and I'll be able to transfer that to proper application, whatever I'm reading here in the New Testament. So verses, let me actually read 37 through 39. This will be out of the ESV. For yet in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. So cast our eyes to the day of judgment, to the spiritual. Right? And so this is part of the quote here from Habakkuk. But the righteous one will live by faith. Right, your New King James or King James, I think the phrase we're probably more used to, now the just shall live by faith. Well, who's the just? Well, it's the righteous ones. They're going to live by faith. And if he shrinks back or draws back, New King James, if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him, but we are not among those who shrink back to destruction. But to those who have faith for the safekeeping of the soul. And so what I want to do for just a moment here, so we can make some proper application, because we're going to be good students of the Bible, I want us to think about this, and we're going to make four short points here in just a few minutes concerning this passage here and looking at what faith does. But I want you to go back to the book of Habakkuk. And maybe you remember this, I guess probably 2 years ago in our Romans class. Romans 1:17 quotes this passage, and then Galatians 3:11. So you got three places in your New Testament that quote this very passage here. And so we're going to be good students. We're going to jump back. What's Habakkuk all about? I want you to think about this for just a moment. The theme is, basically, God has a plan, so remain faithful. And in other ways, it's, you know, God's justice is coming. Right, don't give up. What's Hebrews about? God has a plan, Christ, new covenant. Be faithful, don't give up. Right, and so Hebrews is a continuing argument, it appears, to Christians from a Jewish background. We're thinking about leaving the faith, going back to Judaism. And so the Hebrews writer is saying, let me tell you why that's a bad idea. Right, and it's argument after argument. Christ is so much better. The new covenant is so much better. You know, it doesn't make sense that you would want to leave the only way to be saved. And so Habakkuk, in a very similar way, God has a plan, justice is coming, don't give up. And so the book begins with a series of questions. the people are asking God some questions. So in chapter 1, 1 through 4, we can go through this real quick. They basically ask, have you forgotten about us, God? And then verses 12 and 13, same chapter, you know, God, why do you allow evil and sin and violence to continue? And aren't you in control, God? You ever ask that one? Verses 14 through 17, they're basically asking, you know, why don't you punish evil immediately? Now, let's be thankful that he doesn't. But that was their question. Then finally, verses 13 through 15, they're asking, why don't you, God, show justice like the way that we want you to show justice? Right? Why aren't you doing things like we want you to do them, God? Well, God's going to answer in chapter 2. And he's going to answer in verses 2 through 4. Read it with me. Then the Lord answered me and said, write the vision and make it plain on tablets, that he may run who reads it. For the vision is yet for an appointed time, but at the end it will speak and it will not lie. Though it tarries, wait for it, because it will surely come. It will not tarry. Behold the proud. His soul is not upright in him, but the just shall live by his faith. So Paul quotes it, Romans 1:17, Galatians 3:11, and the writer of Hebrews, my opinion, Paul, does it again there at the end of Hebrews chapter 10. And it's all based upon the people questioning God. And then God gives that response in chapter 2, there in verse 4. Right? When people, they're questioning God's tactics, you know, and understanding the time and the period here, they're basically questioning why God is using pagan nations to accomplish his will. And God's responding in a very simple but powerful way here. You know, have faith, the just shall live by faith. And again, we talk about faith a lot, which is good. We talk about, you know, how to have faith as if it's a possession. And while faith, I believe, can indeed be had, if you will, I want to suggest to you what we're being taught here, but especially in the book of Hebrews in chapter 10, is it needs to be lived. Faith needs to be lived. Right, and in that same discussion, we often spend a lot of time, again, talking about what faith is, and then we miss out on what it does. And that's so critical in our modern culture, this nihilistic age that we live in. It's so important to understand this. And so here in Hebrews, right, the just shall live by faith is a quote from Habakkuk 2, 3, and 4. And what's interesting, again, I already mention this, is Paul quotes it there in Romans 1 and verse 17. He's talking about the gospel, for in it the righteousness of God is revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. And let me read this Galatians 1 here, in Galatians chapter 3 and verse 11. And of course, Paul is defining, very similar to Romans 4, what faith is, right? And the purpose of faith, right? By the promises of God made to Abraham, and basically to be a seed of Abraham, you need to be clothed with Christ at baptism, verses 26 to 29. So that's what's going on in this. So in the midst of this discussion, we read it right here in verse 11. But that no one is justified by the law in the sight of God is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And so the meaning, I think if we do some connection here, in accordance to, you know, how it's used in Habakkuk, is that the righteous should live by continued confidence in God. Right? Even in the midst of a trouble and chaos, you know, when we just can't see God's plan, right? When we can't see that plan and we're not trying to live by faith and do something concerning that faith, listen, we're going to fall away. We're going to drift away. And so here in Habakkuk, remember the theme here for this entire book is basically God has a plan, so remain faithful, don't give up. Right? Same thing in Hebrews. God has a plan, Christ, covenant of Christ, don't give up. You know, we don't need to, what he's really, I think, impressing upon the folks here in Habakkuk is, you know, don't spend your time in doubt and fear and apprehension, but have a calm trust in God. And in the sense in how it's being used here in Hebrews and other places, Paul uses it, you know, be resolute in your faith, right? The just shall live by faith. And again, remember what faith is. It's trust and obedience coming together, right? And so now we're considering then what does faith do? When trust and obedience comes together, what does that do for us in a real practical way in our lives? You know, I love when Paul says what he says in 2 Timothy 1 and verse 12. He says, I am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him until that day. I think that perfectly highlights. If you're taking notes, write that down. That perfectly highlights what all four of these passages are talking about. When you want to put it together, this preserving confidence or belief in the Lord that he will preserve us in the midst of struggles and trials and difficulties and persecutions and anything. Right? This preserving confidence. But I want you to note something here for just a moment before we go on to these four short main points here. I want you to look at verse 38. But if any man draws back, or my ESV says shrink back, my soul shall have no pleasure from him. That's a quote also from there in Habakkuk 2 and verse 4. And one thing I found very interesting is when I was looking at the Septuagint, which is basically the a Greek translation of your Old Testament, right? It was around in the days of Jesus. And looking at a literal translation, it carries the idea of, quote, see he whose soul is unbelieving shall on this account be unhappy. I found that very interesting. So if he draws back, in other words, gives up, he's going to experience the divine displeasure of God. And we see that throughout Hebrews. Right, we see it in many places here, and just in chapter 10, for example. Right, at verse 26, you know, if we sin willfully after we've received the knowledge of the truth, there no longer remains a sacrifice for our sins, but a certain fearful expectation of judgment and fiery indignation which will devour the adversaries. And then he goes on, of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be upon him who tramples underfoot the blood of the covenant of Christ, right? So, you know, we need to be aware, right, of the consequences of not living out our faith. Because when we don't live out our faith, we're going to see in these short points here, we're going to drift away. We're going to fall away. Now, we may occupy a pew 2-3 hours a week for many years, but we will drift away. Right, and when we drift away, it's the same thing. He's saying it's like you're taking the blood of the covenant of Christ and you're throwing it on the ground and you're just trampling on it. That's how you're treating it. So there's a great warning in this, but also there's a great hope in this text here. We need to be reminded of that. So here's our first of four points. Number one, what faith does is faith provides direction. You know, do you feel like you lack direction in your life? Maybe you're just kind of stumbling through. Well, maybe it's a faith issue. And in that, maybe it's a trust issue. Maybe it's an obedience issue. Maybe that's why you struggle. Without faith in God, our direction in life is, I guess you can say, open-ended. Right? No purpose. Remember how he talks about faith in chapter 11? Faith in verse 1 is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. Verse 6, you probably know it well. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. So let's read it like this. But without trust and obedience, it's impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he's a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. In Jeremiah chapter 10 and verse 23, another passage we all probably know really well. O Lord, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not man who walks to direct his own steps. That's why the psalmist in Psalm 119 and verse 19 says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path, verse 105. But then in verse 133, direct my steps by your word. And so we need to understand that faith provides direction in our lives. And if you feel like you don't have any direction in your life, maybe you need to honestly go back and do some self-inventory. Is it a trust issue? Is it an obedience issue? You know, why am I struggling with direction? You see, without faith, you know, it's like setting sail, you know, without a compass on the ocean, right? And faith provides the true north. I think that's a good way to look at this, right? It gives us the vision by which we proceed by. Now, for just a moment here, before we go into our second point, I want you to see this. Remember, context, context, context. I'm going to be a good student of God's word. I want you to see for just a moment here, I think it's so important, what leads up to this quote in chapter 10 of Hebrews, verse 38 from Habakkuk. I want you to see what leads up to this. You'll see it on bullet points on the screen. You can do it kind of fast here. And so if you go back to verses 1 through 4, we're basically being taught Christ died for you, he made the perfect sacrifice, giving purpose or direction in your life. Verses 5 through 10, Christ is the fulfillment of God's promise to save man. Right? And that's just God's promise at the beginning in the garden. Right? Genesis 3 and verse 15, he had a plan. Right? Stated to Abraham in Genesis 12, 1 and 2. Restated to David in 2 Samuel 7. Right? God has always had a plan. And then verses 11 through 18, Christ's promised sacrifice delivers the means of that salvation to man, to you. In verses 19 through 25, you know, we probably know it really well, but I think you could summarize it with the previous verses being true. We are then called or directed to join our lives to that means of salvation. Now we have access behind the veil through the blood of Christ. Right? Those three let us statements there. Right? That's why we draw near, because of that. And then verses 26 to 31, we can lose that salvation, or we can lose our direction. Right? If we continue in sin, verse 26, I read it a moment ago, verse 29. And then verses 32 through 36, remember what you've endured for that salvation. Why would you throw it away? Doesn't make any sense. You know, why would you go in another direction as if any other direction could save you? It's impossible. There's only one name under heaven by which we are saved, right? Acts 4 and verse 12. And then note verse 37 here. Let's read verse 37. This is interesting because it's quoting Jeremiah 31 and verse 34. Now, we don't have time this evening, but if you went back to Jeremiah 31, 31 through 34, it's promising the church. Right, the church of Christ to save, it's coming. Right, a new covenant in Christ. But right here in verse 37, I did read it when we began. Read it again. For yet a little while, and he who is coming will come and will not tarry, the New King James says. Right, and so understand, this is the only means you'll have to be saved. The only option. Number two, faith promises or promotes confidence. Look at that last part of verse 38, Hebrews 10. But if anyone draws back, my soul has no pleasure in him. So God does not delight in the believer who draws back, or my ESV, shrinks back. I just like that description a little better. He takes no pleasure in the one who shrinks back. Right? Out of fear, out of laziness, whatever. Whatever the reason is, somehow they get another option. You know, I sure like those folks down the street, that church. Boy, I tell you what, it's just more fun, right? It's not scandalous preaching that we talked about last two Sunday mornings, right? The kind of polish up the meaning of the cross, you know, and making it more palatable, you know, whatever reason. You know, when push comes to shove, faith and righteousness allows us to be firmly rooted, right? Confidence, like the psalmist, as he's beginning the book of Psalms in chapter 1 and verse 3, we should be like a tree firmly planted by the rivers of water. And then here in Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 19, right, another passage we know well, but it helps us putting this in a bigger picture here. This hope we have is an anchor of the soul, both sure and steadfast, and which enters the presence behind the veil. Just like chapter 10, right? That's where God's presence is. Now, that this anchor that we have, this hope that we have, this confident expectation we have in Christ, we get to go in the very presence of God because of the blood of Jesus. And so, in other words, I would just, you know, trust in the promises of God. And maybe, is that something that you struggle with? Right? Do you struggle with having confidence in your salvation? Right? Chapter 10 of Hebrews, it's all about trusting in the promises of God and hanging tight, not giving in, not shrinking back. Listen, faith is not a fleeting feeling. Rather, it's a determined disposition or a determined outlook toward God Almighty. He makes a promise, he keeps it, right? That's why Abraham's called the father of the righteous. He believed in the promises of God, right? He believed, as we should, that if you obey, if you trust him, he'll save you, right? Chapter 10 here in Hebrews in verse 22. Right, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. In other words, you know, if you've obeyed the gospel and you truly trust, you believe in the promises of God, then, verse 35 and 36, then don't cast away your confidence, which has great reward. For you have need of endurance, so that after you have done the will of God, take an action concerning the will of God, you may receive the promise. Number three here, faith protects your soul. Look there in verse 39. Again, but we are not of those who draw back to perdition or shrink back to destruction. That's not us. That's not us. In other words, we are those who have faith, and that it preserves our souls, right? And don't get this confused with any kind of once saved, always saved kind of teaching. That is not what this is at all, right? Doubt and uncertainty in God will lead to your destruction, absolutely. Whereas faith exhorts one to eternal life. And your soul needs constant protection, or else... Jump over to chapter 2. I want to read this. I know I have a different passage on the screen, but I want to mention this one here. Chapter 2 of Hebrews, verses 1 through 3. Therefore, we must give the more earnest heed to the things we have heard, lest we drift away. Right? In that word there in the original language, it's kind of like the idea of a boat on a lake. You know, and you know, just picture clear water. And you got the boat there by the dock, and if you untied the boat, now at first, the boat doesn't seem to go anywhere. But give it a little bit of time, and it is just slowly drifting away. And the next thing you know, if you're not paying attention, look, the boat's way out there. It's kind of that idea. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? We will drift away if we're not careful. Right? And we need to fix our gaze on the eternal realm, fix our gaze on Jesus. And I have that over on the screen, chapter 12, especially in verse 2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Fixing our eyes on him. And so we don't get distracted and drift away. All right, number four this evening, faith promotes action. And for this, I want to go into chapter 11. So immediately, chapter 10, he's going to quote Habakkuk, God's in control, don't give up. And then he's going to talk about faith in detail, using all the examples that we all know. Right? We're called the great chapter of faith. And what's the common denominator in all of these individuals? Right, this great cloud of witnesses he's going to talk about in chapter 12, verse 1. Right, since we're surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us lay aside every weight and the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Those folks, the example that they left, what's the common denominator? It's all they did something concerning their faith. They took action concerning their faith. Right? They didn't just sit on their hands, you know, I believe in you, God, and sit on their hands and do nothing. You know all the examples. You know what they did. Faith has never been about just simply believing something. Right? It's about believing something absolutely, but then doing something. And if we don't do something, if we don't take action, we will drift away. And again, we can comfortably occupy a pew a couple, 3 hours a week for many years, but still drift away and deceive ourselves that our heart hasn't been hardened by the deceitful nature of sin, Hebrews 3 and verse 13. We can believe in God, and it's still called disobedience to God. In chapter 3 and verse 19, they could not enter the promised land because of unbelief. Disobedience is unbelief. And so the writer here considers all these examples of faith, men and women that advocated this characteristic and who they were. So therefore, verses 39 and 40, Hebrews 11, all these, right, all these examples, what you see on the screen and more, having obtained a good testimony through faith, right, through trust and obedience in God, did not receive the promise, right, of Christ. When Christ died, of course, that blood sacrifice covered them in the past, and then all the way up to us this very day. God having provided something better for us, that they, those of the Old Testament, should not be made perfect apart from us. Right? And we're much more blessed than they were. They didn't have the completed Word of God. Right? And so they knew there was a Messiah coming, but they didn't know how that was going to play out. We get to see that. Right? We're even 2,000 years removed from that, and we get to see that and enjoy the blessing of the Word of God that highlights all of that. And so faith was not just a part of their life, it was how they lived their lives. Right? Faith, it's not a here now and gone later proposition. Right? It's a continual decision based on your trust in God and your belief in God, that you will obey God. It's a continuous decision daily to do for God, to take action. That's what faith does. Look at this here, and we'll wrap it up in just a moment. In chapter 13 of Hebrews 5 and 6, here's why we don't give up. Let your conduct be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. For he himself has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. So we may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? And he's quoting Psalm 27, verse 1 there. So why does this matter? Here's our conclusion. Why does this matter? What do I do with this information here? Listen, if I think that there's a better way, I need to understand that there's not. And listen, if I think that, you know, I can figure out all of this on my own without God, I cannot. If I think that I'll never fall prey to Satan and lose my faith, listen, I can. Absolutely. And so when I live a life of faith, of taking action, it's going to protect me from this, right? And so I need to understand that faith provides direction, confidence, it protects my soul, and it promotes action. That's what faith does. If you're here this evening and you are subject to the gospel invitation, we'd love to help you with that, whether it's being immersed into Christ for the removal of your sins. Let's do that. Or let's sit down and study that most important decision you'll ever make. If you've done that, but along the way you lost your way. And maybe talking about faith here, and you're like, well, I don't have any direction in my life. I need to redirect. I need to be reconciled back to God. He's given you this opportunity this evening to be reconnected, to be reconciled, to get that direction back. So if we can help you in any way spiritually, or if you just need encouragement or strength, let somebody know as we stand, as we sing.